This program is paid for by Jacob Media Partners. All opinions or statements expressed on this program are solely those of Jacob Media or its guests and do not reflect the views of WPHT or Odyssey.
There are so many choices when it comes to selecting the right financial institution. Start with the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. We're right here in your city. We're also the official credit union of Temple University, and anyone who lives, works, worships, and studies in Philadelphia can open an account. We're member-owned and offer all the services you're looking for, like mobile banking and free ATM withdrawals. Visit our website at pfcu.com. We're not here for our profit, here for yours. Federally insured by NCUA.
Now, on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause. Presented by the Law Offices of Pond, Lehocky, Giordano. Talk, listen, and speak to the region's most influential leaders. This is a special edition of The Labor Show with J. Doc Krause and John Dougherty.
And welcome in, everyone, on a Saturday night. This is hour number two of The Labor Show. This is a live show tonight here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. This, of course, is the John Dougherty Hour. We'll bring our host into the program in just a moment. We'll also welcome back in, fresh off of his long vacation, is our partner J-Doc joining us for the full hour tonight. J-Doc, a good Saturday night to you as well, sir.
Well, it feels great to be able to do the entire show last week. I was able to call in for about 15 minutes, but didn't get the whole John Dougherty effect, so I'm ecstatic. Of course, I'm not. I wish I was doing it in Cape May at the Krause Studios in Cape May, but just being on the program, I'm ecstatic.
Yeah, good stuff, John Dougherty. We welcome you in another live edition of the John Dougherty Hour here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. A good Saturday night to you, my friend. How are you?
Good. It's great to be back with you guys. And, it was a pretty busy week. A lot of things happening in Philly, a lot of things happening in the labor community. And we actually, Joe, as you know, I popped on for a half hour earlier in the week on 1210 with Dom Giordano, and that was a pretty interesting conversation.
Yeah, really good conversation. Thinking about it, actually listening to hour number one of the Labor Show tonight leading into this live program, John, we had the Boilermakers Hour, a lot of conversation with regards to labor and also with regards to energy, and that was a part. Not the entire conversation that you had with Dom, but I did listen to that interview with Dom in real time. Really, really good stuff. Good conversation on your part, and a good Q&A with Dom for that entire time.
Yeah, it's funny. I had someone as recently as 5 o'clock tonight touch base with me, and I had two people, I think I mentioned this to you, immediately, the minute you put up, you know, a copy of the radio show, listen to it and call me. And tonight I had someone say to me, were you serious about, you know, the Boston Harbor and Russian ships carrying heating oil? I said, absolutely. I said, you know, that was going on right at the time when we were arguing the facts that we believed we needed Sunoco oil to stay open, you know, and then they listened to the show so well that they said, do you really think we're going to have an issue? I said, well, let me put it this way. I said, there's not an abundance of heating oil, okay, flying around. And Pennsylvania and New York use more heating oil than any two states on the East Coast. So, yeah, it could be a little bit of an issue. But, I mean, it's that type of conversation. And even Dom said, it's not what people expect when they call here. Okay, we can have a lot of conversation about, you know, charitable events and parties and, you know, blow-up rats and picket lines. But there's a tremendous amount of business that goes on in the union movement, you know, and just because we're unions and not LLCs, sometimes we get stereotyped. But I have to tell you, you know, the conversation on this show, the conversation that most of these business managers in the Philadelphia building trades have on a day in and day out basis are serious Fortune 500 type conversations. The good news is that all the money goes down to our members when we do well, which is, you know, why we have the show too. And again, can't thank you guys enough. It was a great week so far. I know the conversation, you know, and I have to tell you, you know, I got to give Frank Keel some kudos too, along with you two. I know Frank's celebrating the night with his wife, and nobody deserves it more than Frank. But he has put together about 7 or 8 shows now, along with Joe Krause and yourself, Joe, that have been so different and so inclusive. Everything from, you know, the Naomi Post-Streets, okay, all the way up until tonight, you know, the crowd we have tonight. It's just been amazing. I mean, it's just good conversation. And I think that's why we still get people to listen. Now, today, you know, there's a couple activities. I know Local 98 has the annual Land Down Under. It's the 31st year. And, you know, they're donating the money. You know, almost everything they've done is went to, you know, either somebody, you know, that's had an issue, either a firefighter, you know, or a police officer or a veteran under Mark Lynch's leadership. And I know they're going to present a $30,000 check down the shore to another one of the groups tonight. So I know that'll be pretty active down there. But we do pick up a residual crowd each week that carries this message that this is a good station. This is a good show. And you guys do a great job at, you know, spreading the word. There's nobody in the media. There's nobody in the Philadelphia Inquirer. There's very few people on social media, okay, that actually spend time concentrating on the union movement. You know, you might get an odd, you know, you get something when somebody wins an organizing campaign at Starbucks, which is great. We had them here. But you'll get something when you might get somebody takes on Amazon in New York City. But we've been doing that for 45 years under my, you know, time that I've been in a movement around here. It's just nice to finally have somebody communicating with our people, our friends, and our families about, you know, what their unions are doing for them in the business world.
Yeah, John, I mean, you know, I totally agree. That's the premise of the show. That's why we started it so long ago. I remember we had you on, I think it was on the New Year's show, and I think I'm right, Krause. When John came on our first, it was the first time we had him on, and I remember saying to myself, "Okay, we're official now." Okay, we literally had spent several months kind of crafting the show, and we're very appreciative. That's what we're here for, John. But what's great also is, you always set the table, and you're right about Frank Keel. My God, the guests we've had have been movers and shakers like there's no tomorrow. But the way you've laid out and the guests that have come on the program that have talked about the development and the leadership headed by you, to develop what, you know, obviously the convention center and so many massive projects, and now Ryan Boyer, and of course you said Mark Lynch and all the other business managers that we have in the building trades. And of course, you know, that doesn't leave out the other unions that are not building trade unions. The leadership's fantastic. But that's what the program's about, man. And so it's been just as big a pleasure for us as it's been, hopefully, to the people who get the opportunity to meet the people that they've only heard about.
And two good guests are on deck for the show tonight for the John Dougherty Hour. Coming up after the first break, we'll introduce you to Raheem Manning, the city of Philadelphia's newly appointed nighttime economy director. It'll be great to spend some time with Raheem and try and understand what this new position is all about. And then a little bit later on, somewhere around 7:34, 7:35, here in the John Dougherty Hour, United States Congressman Brendan Boyle will join us. Remember, we had anticipated Brendan Boyle joining us last week, and then because of the vote in Washington and everything that was happening down there, Brendan had to defer to tonight, so we'll bring Brendan Boyle in as well. This is the John Dougherty Hour. We're live, of course, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We'll get to our first commercial break. On the other side, Raheem Manning, back in a moment.
Tonight's edition of The Labor Show is sponsored in part by IBEW Local 98 North, UFCW Local 1776, Sheet Metal Workers Local 19, and the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, DC-21.
This whole nonsense about not giving workers the right to organize with so-called right to work, that's bad. Something like that comes to my desk, I'll veto it, not just because I'm a Democrat, not just because I'm pro-labor, but because I know for a fact that's not very smart.
And back here live on a Saturday night on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We thank everybody for tuning in and listening to the John Daugherty Hour. We, of course, are live until 8 o'clock. One programming reminder, right back here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT tomorrow night, Sunday at 6 p.m., the next edition of the Labor and Energy Show, Sunday nights from 6 to 7 p.m. J-Doc, over to you, my friend.
Yeah, you know, Joe and John, we're talking about movers and shakers and, you know, what we get to do to bring people to the Delaware Valley. And I'm ecstatic to bring into the program Raheem Manning, who is the City of Philadelphia's newly appointed nighttime economy director. Raheem, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Good evening, everyone.
Well, it's great to have you. You got your hands full, but we got the right man for the job. First of all, tell our listeners what the a nighttime economy director is.
Absolutely. So director of nighttime economy and business development, which is my full title, it's my job to advocate, convene, and plan for what the city looks like after five. You know, taking in together all the voices and all the things that happen in the city. So, you know, we're talking whether it's, you know, transportation and safety and third shift workers, but as well as nightlife, entertainment, with like restaurants, bars, and hotels. So creating a thriving, you know, business economy after five, but also making sure that we're considering what our residents are thinking about and worrying about after five as well.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, Labor's thrilled by your appointment. You're a Philly guy, right? You're an Overbrook High School grad, correct?
Yes, I am. I'm from that castle on the hill out in West Philly. You know, born and raised in West Philadelphia. So, you know, I'm Philly through and through.
And so having said that, and we're going to bring John Daugherty in, you know, to obviously lead the conversation. But how do you view your new role? What is your strategic governance plan, and where does it stand as we speak?
So just the first part of that question, I view my new role as like a fresh breath for, you know, Philadelphia, businesses in Philadelphia, and for Philadelphia as a whole. There's never been anyone in city government to represent our nighttime economy in such a way. And so advocating for the nighttime economy, but also encouraging investment and development and, you know, business-friendly policies for those businesses that are operating after five. As far as the strategic governance plan, so the first thing I'm going to do in this role, first major thing, is a listening tour that's going to start this fall. I'm going to go around to all the neighborhoods around the city and engage the stakeholders of the nighttime economy. So, again, that's whether it's operators and owners of business, but also third shift workers and those who are moving at night. I'm going to be speaking with city departments that, you know, control things that happen at night. So whether that's transportation or lighting or safety, and convening together so that I can then create that strategic governance plan utilizing all the information I gathered from the listening tour.
John Daugherty?
Yeah, congratulations, Raheem. You know, I'm a big Jim Kenney fan, right? And purely from, you know, I've known him my whole life. We're basically family. But, you know, and again, you know, I'm very open-minded when people want to critique. You know, I always joke around potholes, things like that. You know, and of course, the crime issue is bigger than any one man. And, I mean, everybody has to be focused in on that. But from our perspective, okay, from, and this was a union show, and I was the head of the building trades. You know, he's been as good, and we've had some good mayors, you know, Ed Rendell and John Street being two of them, but Jim Kenney has been as good when it comes to union exclusive work. We had like 168 project labor agreements right out of the box with him. That's like only 160 more than anybody else did for us. Okay, but the one thing I always talk about him is that he wasn't afraid to think outside the box. And again, your role, you know, in a nighttime role, at a nighttime economy, I know, and you probably can comment on it, there's other big cities are looking at it. But the way I looked at it when I first heard it, two angles. One, I remember when I was a kid, when the rec centers would be open at 11 o'clock, and the stores around the rec centers would be open, and the corner places would be, you know, always have a police officer or someone from the community out. And the recreation centers, even at night, would have the pools would be open till 11, things like that. You know, and I mean, and again, it's a different environment, a different world we live in today. But, you know, if your focus of going around talking to people and getting their ideas, I would really be interested and hearing how many people just, you know, especially my age, you know, remember that and realize that, you know, the world didn't shut down at 6 o'clock. And a lot were safety concerns. Yeah. But, you know, I always said that, you know, when you have two stores open, I ran a civic association for a lot of years. One of the things when anybody would come into the neighborhood, for example, Burger King on Delaware Avenue, wanted to, you know, put a Burger King in. And it needed access from not only community support. But I said to them, listen, if you're only going to be open at 10, I want you to keep the lights on 24 hours. And they thought I was crazy. Now, I wanted the lights on 24 hours. I just want lights. I want traffic. I want, you know, I tell people that means there's life there. And again, when I was a kid growing up, not only in the Philly, but when you would go down the shore, like every bar, every restaurant, everything was open till 5 a.m. I mean, so, you know, that just added a second shift. It also added a whole different world of, you know, people say, well, you're talking a bar. No, I wasn't just talking a bar. You know, I remember where I used to go. You know, I mean, it was a bar. There was a laundromat. The Acme was open. I mean, the bike shop opened up at 3 a.m. Yeah, I mean, it was just crazy time. So, look, I know no one, including myself, really knows what your job is other than, you know, I think that if we could open up and make places bright and make people active and bring more tax revenue in and put more police officers out there and more community people and more town watches and more programs for kids, and it's got to be good. So, again, you have access to what we have here. You hear Joe Krause and Joe Dock and myself. And, again, when I knew you were coming on, I read your article when it popped, and I knew that, you know, it would be interesting to have you on. But I really didn't know what you were going to do until I read your article. And then I heard you say today, best thing you can do is communicate with people. Make sure you hit them civic associations. Make sure you hit them churches and tell people that it's okay to stay open past 6 o'clock.
Yeah, listen, I think you brought up a lot of great points, right? And I understand it's a new role for the city of Philadelphia. So, you know, a lot of people, what does a nighttime, you know, director do? You know, first and foremost, I'm a convener, you know, of people and organizations, you know, around the city to listen to what they want to happen and what their city looks like after five. I think there's so many positive things that if we can get together a plan on what the city looks like operating and moves like, you know, after five, we can bring in more jobs and more revenue and we can bring in more tourism, right? But it's also for what Philadelphians want, right? So that they can have a say. I think, you know, I'm not probably not as old as you, John, but I do remember when I was younger, some of the stuff you were talking about was still around, where we would have parties at the Powell. I don't know if you guys remember, like, the Police Athletic League was really big when I was younger. And so they would throw us, like, parties. And, you know, this is when I'm 15, 16. And we would be at the parties till 12 or 1, and then our moms would come pick us up. Or, you know, we'd go to different teen clubs. And so there was a lot more activity happening. And then I think one thing now that we have to look at is that they're coming out of the pandemic. And then, of course, with a lot of the other stuff and factors into the city, you know, businesses are closing down earlier, which are leaving residents with less options and access to services that they need, whether that's finding something to eat after 10 o'clock or, you know, again, socializing and going out and having a good time. Or if you're a third shift worker, you're working at the hospital or you're working at, you know, the factory and you're coming in a third shift, you didn't have a chance to make, you know, food before you went there. Where do you go if the city continues to shut down? And so I am coming in as a new voice, a fresh voice to provide services, connecting these businesses with the Department of Commerce that has a lot of programs to prop up businesses and to support them, but also to let businesses know we're here to support you if you want to operate later. I know now, that there's some unique things you're going to have to deal with, but we have some plans for those.
Now, Raheem, let me just jump in there for a second because I happen to be in the nightclub business for 15 years. I own 3 nightclubs in the city, and I sold my last one in 2015. One of the issues, you know, it's very interesting. So, obviously, with the pandemic and being a hospitality guy and knowing the business like I do, I my heart breaks for a lot of the restaurateurs and a lot, and when people, you know, you look at what happened as far as the, you know, all the shutdowns. What are we going to do to give to really, in a sense, bring confidence back? Because you know, we have the outdoor eateries now, and that's awesome. But the fact of the matter is, we got to get confidence up with our establishment owners so that they know they're not going to be, you know, shut down when other places are staying open. What are your thoughts there?
Right. I think the first and foremost thing is speaking to them. Right. I'm going to get out and talk to them. I, you know, and I've already begun
speaking to a lot of these associations, especially a lot of the nightlife, right? So the Restaurant and Cabaret Association I spoke with, and the Pennsylvania Tourism and Hospitality. And so the big concern there is them having someone to talk to in government that understands that. Like, you know, Joe, you understand it because you were in the business, but a lot of times people don't understand the unique things you had to deal with as a nighttime establishment or as a night resident. And so I'm here now, right? And I'm going and I'm listening and I'm working with these businesses to come up with a plan to build that confidence. I'm also connecting these businesses to city resources via the Commerce Department to help prop them up while they, you know, reimagine what their business plan is going to be, or we reimagine what it looks like to be, you know, a restaurant that's open later. And so I think that's the first thing to getting that confidence back, is that they, you know, you now have someone, if you're in that predicament, to help you and connect you with resources.
Raheem Manning is our special guest here on the John Daugherty Hour. Raheem is the newly appointed nighttime economy director. Just a couple of minutes left in our segment, Raheem. But I do want to ask you if you are a fan of the announcement that came out. I know we spent some time on this show talking about it. The Philadelphia 76ers and the proposal for their new arena on Market Street. What's your thoughts? You excited about that? Have you had an opportunity to understand it?
Yeah, so the Department of Commerce works, you know, is working with the Sixers organization and providing support from the city on that. And that's where I'm based. So again, I'm the Department of Commerce. My personal opinion on it is I think it's a great idea. You know, I'm a big Philly sports fan. I'm a Philly events fan. I love going to concerts. I'm experiencing a lot of things in Philly. But I'll put this scenario out there, and I think everybody will be able to kind of see the benefit of having, because, you know, the people are talking about a lot of the logistics stuff, which, you know, we'll be at the table to make sure it works. But, you know, you go to a game, right? Let's say, us three, we go to a game, but we go to the game separately. We drive down to the sports complex. We have a great time. The team wins. And afterwards, we want to continue celebrating, right? Because the game's over at 10, you know, let's say. We want to continue celebrating, right? And so me, you, and John, or me, John, and Joe, we all have to coordinate.
Well, wait, who's buying first? Who's buying?
First of all, I'm buying. I got it.
All right, we're going to be out all night. Go ahead.
So, right, I'm old, so I'm on a fixed income.
So you leave the game, right? You know, you get in your car. We have to coordinate, right? Have to put it where we're going, where's the place, because, you know, the stadium's, you know, the complex is really great, but if you want to go somewhere afterwards, it takes a lot of energy. Now, move that stadium downtown. It's bringing economic businesses back to downtown. It's filling leasing space where, you know, we're struggling with retail space and filling up. And what downtowns are looking like are going to look different after, you know, the pandemic. But now we're downtown, and it's us three at the game, and we want to do something after. Well, we walk out the stadium, and we go across the street to Bourbon and Branch, or we walk out the stadium, and we go to another spot here, and we're able to continue to enjoy the night, to celebrate the win. But all those businesses downtown now are easily accessible by walking, you know, from after a big event, whether it's a concert or a game. And it just brings so much economic activity. And so, you know, let's say we caught the train in from the suburbs, or we're not just going to the game and then leaving back. We're bringing more economic activity, more, you know, revenue to the city. We're bringing in more tax dollars, and we're having a good time with less barriers. So I think it's a good idea for the city.
Raheem Manning joining us here on the John Daugherty Hour, kicking us off here live on a Saturday night on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Raheem is the newly appointed nighttime economy director for the city of Philadelphia. Glad to introduce you to the audience tonight, Raheem. Thank you very much for coming on the John Daugherty Hour.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Good luck, right, man. Good right. Job.
Stay in touch, pal. Let us know what's going on, please.
Absolutely, especially as we get our listening tour starting in the fall to listen to residents again. That's a big part, you know, and if anyone's listening to this, you can reach out to the Department of Commerce if you have any questions. We have our, you know, business relations hotline, our business services hotline, which is 215-683-2100. So feel free to reach out if you need any help, any entrepreneurs, any businesses in the nighttime economy. You guys have a great evening.
All right, good stuff.
I got a little idea for you. You use one, when you meet with people, use one of these union halls. Get them, do it late at night, you know, after 9:30, 10 o'clock. Make sure people feel comfortable coming. You know, they'll light these halls up. You know, you grab some place and you have one of your meetings at 10 at night at a union hall, and I guarantee people will come.
Yeah, especially if you know, you pub it on your radio and then you buy the round for that meeting. You know, first meeting, first round of drinks on you, right?
That's
whatever
right.
Whatever you want. We're easy here.
You know, I might get back into business now that we know that we have a leader in there running the running the nightlife and the hospitality, man. Keep up the good work, Raheem.
All Thanks, right, I we'll appreciate get, you guys, and of course, we'll keep in touch.
All you
right,
got
we'll
it.
Get to a commercial break here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Congressman Brendan Boyle on the other side.
This program is paid for by Jacob Media Partners.
This edition of The Labor Show is sponsored in part by Sprinkler Fitters Local 692, Laborers District Council, Steam Fitters Local 420, and the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 542.
Live on the John Daugherty Hour here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Good opening segment. As we talked about nightlife in Philadelphia, we'll go back to John Daugherty and transition into our next guest. United States Congressman Brendan Boyle is joining us, John. Two items of conversation that we're going to talk to Brendan about. One, the Budget Reconciliation Act, and two, the PRO Act.
Yeah, listen, I'm not introducing Brendan because, like I said, he's been, you know, unbelievably loyal to Philadelphia, unbelievably effective. The fact that he can play at the highest levels now, you know, and we haven't had that in a while in Philadelphia. I mean, the man has access to the president, all the leadership in Congress. I mean, he does a great job when he's on television or when he's on any form of social media. I mean, he's articulate. He's down to earth. You know, you can't take the irony out of him. You know, and again, it's just a pleasure. And I'm really interested to hear some of the inner workings because, you know, Brenda was in the room. There's no doubt. If anybody that ever wonders if Congressman Boyle's in the room, I'm telling you, everything that goes on in this country these days, he's right there inside the Democratic offices. So it's our pleasure again. I just want him to hit right out of the box telling us everything that happened on the last weekend because it was a pretty busy week.
Congressman, guys, how are you, sir?
Yeah, guys, great to be with you. I hope the noise isn't too bad here. I'm out with my wife and my daughter, and we're at a place where there must be about 100 kids around. But I wasn't gonna miss calling into the show to talk to you guys, especially after really another week of big wins in Washington. I mean, 24 hours ago, actually, it was right exactly this time 24 hours ago. Was voting on the big bill that will now allow Medicare to negotiate prescription drugs for the first time and cap seniors' annual prescription drug costs, and on top of that, make the single biggest investment in American history in terms of addressing climate change, which is projected to create about 9 million new jobs and good paying, family-sustaining jobs. So it's been an amazing few weeks for all of the people in the press who want to bash the White House or bash Democratic control of Congress. The last month, we've seen more wins than any previous month that I can remember.
And so, having said that, I mean, it has been a massive month. Let's also talk about the Federal Budget Reconciliation Act. A lot of people have not heard of that. If you would you jump on that?
Yeah, so basically, you know, and I can't stand kind of the inside D.C. speak when people use that kind of outside because, you know, most people in the neighborhood where I live, you hear reconciliation, they either don't know or don't care what that means. What we're talking about are exactly the things that I just mentioned that are in this bill. So, I mean, they use the term reconciliation because of the goofy Senate rules. This is what allowed the bill to pass with 50 votes instead of 60 because it's part of the budget reconciliation. But the meat and potatoes of it is allowing Medicare to negotiate prescription drugs. That's been talked about for 20 years. I remember George W. Bush talking about that. I remember Democrats running for Congress in 2004 and 2006 talking about that, and it never got done. And here we are 20 years later. Literally about 24 hours ago, voting, and now finally Medicare will have the ability to negotiate prescription drug prices, which is important not just for seniors who are on Medicare, but because that's such a big percentage, that will help drive down the cost of those drugs for everybody. And then the other thing that's a part of that I mentioned is the annual cap that will come in to play so that seniors will never have to pay more than $2,000 in any given year for their drug costs. That's big. I mean, I remember at a, I do these shredder events and had a senior at my Shredder event in far northeast Philadelphia. She told me how much she paid per month in prescription drugs. She was paying about $8,000 or $9,000 a year and living on a fixed income. Now that will be capped at $2,000. And then the other piece, which, you know, doesn't sound like it has anything to do with Medicare, and it actually doesn't, but because of the rules of reconciliation, we were allowed to put it in the bill, and that's all the climate change stuff. That's really important. I mean, I've been, and John will probably remember this, I've been a big proponent of something called 48C in our tax code. That's keeping advanced manufacturing in the United States. That's big. That gets expanded in this bill. And I've always been a pragmatist when it comes to addressing climate change. We can't all of a sudden, you know, our fossil fuel economy provides a lot of jobs. The idea that we're suddenly going to immediately transition 100% overnight, you know, was always kind of pie in the sky fantasy talk. This is actually a pragmatic plan. Joe Manchin obviously had a lot to do in the writing of it. I think it's a good, honorable compromise that makes a lot of sense. And then the last piece is, you might say, all right, well, how are we paying for this? And that's through ending the loopholes on billionaire corporations that can get away with paying literally zero in federal income tax. So, for example, look at the Fortune 500 list last year. More than 100 of those companies paid zero in federal income tax, even though they were all very profitable. By introducing that 15% corporate minimum tax, that will bring in, you know, the money that we need in order to pay for the energy investments that I talked about. So it's really a big win on very easy to understand items that will make a difference in the day-to-day lives of people who live in my neighborhood and my district.
And Congressman Will Seniors. Oh, go ahead, John. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to, you know, he talked about being practical. I will tell you something, he is. He's a great dad and a great husband, and I know he's been on the road, so I really appreciate you taking the time, you know, especially when you're with your beautiful wife and baby, you know, at the dinner. But I just want to let you know, when you experience health issues, okay,
yeah.
and when you touch on the $2,000 cap on prescription drugs, you know, just maintenance drugs alone are gigantic. And again, I'm lucky enough, like you are, to have my dad still around. He's 88. But if you walk in his house, across the table, there's tons of prescriptions. You know, in my house right now, there's tons of prescriptions. Don't underestimate that. And thank God for you always keeping that alive, you know. And again, you do a great job. You know, you do a great job always, you know, you're able to juggle sensitive issues. You know, you're one of the few Democrats that will have an honest conversation about energy. You know, and I thank you for that. And last but not least, I just want to let you know that the fact that you're in the room all the time, okay, and in these conversations is great. And one of these days, I need you to get that union dues check off back in the tax code. That
Absolutely.
Will be the most significant union benefit we can give any of our members, you know, because everybody used that money to pay for, you know, the week vacation or the kid going to a private school or sending three kids to dance schools. So it's a big check off. And I know you're on top of everything.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I don't want to keep you out of dinner too long.
No, well, you know, just on that point, as you probably know, Don Norcross and I have been fighting for that. It's the Ways and Means Committee on which I serve, and my fellow Philadelphian Dwight serves as well, who I know is supportive of it. That's something that we need to get done. I mean, you know, it made a difference. I was just trying to do the math, but I used to do my taxes before I became Congress, and then I said, you know what, I'm going to get an accountant to do this because I don't want to mess up and get into any sort of problems. But back when I was a state legislator, I always did the taxes for me and my wife, and they were pretty simple. That checkoff, my wife is a teacher, her union dues, I don't know, I think we're about $800-$900 a year. That checkoff made a difference. By the way, the $500 that the amount of things that teachers buy on their own for their classroom, it's unbelievable. That little deduction really helped teachers a lot too. And Republicans came in 2017 and pushed their so-called tax cut. 83% of it went to the top 1%, and it ended up raising taxes for a lot of families that we know and that we're friends with. Getting rid of or capping the state and local tax deduction at $10,000, sometimes, you know, it's given the acronym SALT, that really hurt for our area, because, you know, you could have a middle class family in suburbs of Philly paying out the wazoo in property taxes, and now suddenly they can't fully deduct that. What that means is that's a tax increase. So, you know, great wins this week, but we still got a lot of work to do. And the PRO Act, I know you mentioned before, I'm so proud to co-sponsor it, pass the House of Representatives, but we still have work to do in that Senate.
Good stuff tonight from United States Congressman Brendan Boyle joining us here on the John Daugherty Hour. And we release you back to the good life, sir. Thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. Okay, so Brendan Boyle here on the John Daugherty Hour. We'll take a commercial break. John, J-Doc, and I will come back after the commercial break.
Tonight's edition of The Labor Show is sponsored in part by Ironworkers Local 401, Boilermakers Local 13, Plumbers Local 690, Roofers Local 30, and IBEW Local 98. Choose a Local 98 contractor.
And back here live on the John Daugherty Hour here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. John, help me understand the checkoff. What does that mean?
Well, there's union dues, okay, and then there's, which is your normal assessment. Then there's things like tools and Carhartts and boots and things like that, which for years people had the ability, you know, to consolidate that and get some sort of tax relief. And, you know, a lot of people said they refer to it as like a tax checkoff. But we've been discussing it. You know, it goes way back. You know, in some cases, you know, I guess in the building trades, it would average around $5,000 a year. So, you know, in a lot of guys, it was almost a, you know, an 80%, you know, piece. So if you had $5,000, you might get $4,000 back. And you don't know how many guys used to tell me that when that disappeared, it was a big thing because it was the first tuition payment for private school. Mm-hmm. It was the week down the shore. It was the put away in a Christmas fund. It was the braces, you know, or things like that that aren't normally covered under a lot of these healthcare plans. So it was something that I've always bringing up every chance I get, because I know that Congressman Boyle and Congressman Norcross were two of the loudest people. Actually, you know, I have to say, Senator Casey was really, really on top of it for a period of time. And again, you know, a couple things happen. One, I'm not there anymore. And two, you know, I mean, we get paralyzed by, you know, the left and the right more than ever. So, you know, me, I always thought that that was a bipartisan thing. Anytime you can give, you know, a worker, but, and I did have Republicans listening to it, but just not enough of them, you know, so.
And is it realistic to think that that's something that would end up back on the front burner and would get back into play or no?
Yeah, I don't know why it wouldn't be. You know, I mean, when you're talking about, you heard what he said, you know, 84% of the tax breaks went to the 1%. You know, and when you have, you know, you have over 140, I think was the number. You know, he said 100, but I've heard before it's up as high as 140 of Fortune 500 companies didn't pay any federal tax. So, you know, if you got a group of young kids, especially with the diversification of the labor movement, and you're bringing kids in, you want them to be safe. You know, and you want them to have the same tools and things like that. So when you get a kid in a neighborhood that gets into a trade, now, lucky enough, I always made sure that, you know, especially the kids who came in from the low income and, you know, initiatives and things like that, I made sure they had tools. I made sure they had clothing. I made sure they had the right boots. You know, we paid for a lot of that through our apprentice training. But a lot of places aren't in that position. So when you're taking, you know, these inner city kids and giving them an opportunity to go to work, you want to make sure, one, they not only learn the trade, but they learn it safely and in the proper gear and have the proper tools. So these are all things that in my language I would call is, you know, a check off. And a lot of these things don't have to be big voted issues. These things you can do with the tax code, you know, and, you know, when Local 98 led the charge, you know, and Jim Snow and Maria Crawford and, a group of people, you know, Bill Keller and, of course, Senator Udicek, when they went after the data centers, you know, that wasn't something that was a big public fight, okay? It was more of a behind the scenes because it was a tax code change, you know, and you can make these tax code changes and you just balance the books later, you know, and once in a while, it's all right to let working people win.
I'm glad you brought that up, too, to the congressman, because, you know, keeping that at the forefront. And, you know, we talked about that a lot last year, and we haven't talked about it in a while. And, it, you know, I mean, the congressman obviously is so important to us, and you know, he does such a great job. But it is good to let them know that, and you know, he, you know, him and Congressman Norcross are leading a fight on this, but to let them know that, yeah, you know, we're still thinking about that, and it still means a lot to us. And so I think that was a good call on your part, John.
Well, look, we can't go a whole hour without mentioning, you know, the Mar-a-Lago raid this week, or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Okay? That type of stuff, you know, draws a ton of emotion on both sides. Turn on Fox or turn on CNN or MSNBC. That's all they're talking about. Okay? And I come from a background where I believe that smart people do things like that all the time. I don't believe that the Roe versus Wade decision, you know, dropped at that moment because smart people didn't plan to have it drop at that moment. Okay, versus dropping it in October where it still might have, you know, a major effect or more of effect in the midterms. You know, these raids, they become conversations, and smart people, media people, you know, they play these things up where a lot of these little items just get pushed back. Now, I have my opinion of raids, as you would imagine. Mm-hmm. Okay. I have my understanding of them. Okay. Been in both sides of them. Okay. I watched them and I was involved in them. I can see where it's personal. I can see where, you know, it's significant, you know, and in this case, we'll eventually find out, you know, how much of it was espionage, if any, or whatever. And I don't want to get in that because I want to keep our issues at the forefront, you know, and the practical things, like Congressman Boyle said, the cap on, okay, $2,000 prescriptions. Everybody we know has a grandmom or a mom, okay, that hustles, okay, to pay for her prescriptions. Okay, a lot of these old-time longshore people that lived in our neighborhood, they dominated our neighborhood, they kept our neighborhood, you know, afloat for decades before I got involved with the building trades, that wall to wall ILA members. Okay, a lot of their benefits are long gone. You know, people on Medicare, you get a maintenance drug. A maintenance drug can run you $1,000 a year itself. If you know, and that's even on top of getting a generic brand. So, I mean, that's a big deal. And they're the things that we should concentrate. Let the TV stations fight it out over who did what and where, you know, in these high political environments. We should be worried about, you know, taking care of our families, the labor families, the building trades families. And that's what I always did. And that's why when I talk about gas and stuff like that, you know, somebody has to champion that issue. It's a big work issue for us. Thank God the congressman gets on to talk about it. But somebody has to continue to champion the tax break, the tax credit, because it's not only, you know, at the end of the year, we need the money and we deserve the money if you're going to give big corporate breaks and not going to pay anything. And that's not saying that we don't pay. We pay a tremendous amount in the union movement, okay, in taxes and union checkoffs, okay? But, you know, we should get our fair share back. And, again, you heard how I started the show. You know, this isn't about rats and picket lines, okay? This is about tax breaks, tax code changes. This is about a modern labor movement that deserves to be in every boardroom and represented in every conversation. And that was my goal. My goal when I started was not only to make Local 98 a brand, but to make everybody understand that we as a union movement, you know, deserve to be at the table. And there's some think that, you know, it's part of the reason why I got slapped a little bit. I was pushing in too many doors to get in. But you can't, like, you know what they say, if you're not at the table, you know, if you're not at the table here on the menu, right?
Yep.
So
good stuff. Great way to end the John Dougherty Hour tonight here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. On behalf of Jay Dock and on behalf of our host, John Dougherty, I'm Joe Krause. See you next time, everybody.
This program is paid for by Jacob Media Partners. All opinions or statements expressed on this program are solely those of Jacob Media or its guests and do not reflect the views of WPHT or Odyssey.